This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road.
Hi, everybody. Again. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We've got a prince marrying an American divorcee. We have Harvey Weinstein's or Weinstein's scandal just exploding in a lot of different directions with a lawsuit alleging sex trafficking on top of everything else. And then we have, more importantly, out of Washington, the president signaling that there looks like there's going to be some changes coming to the tax bill, which might make it actually pass. Hope you had a great turkey day and subsequently had some time to spend with family. Maybe you had a very long weekend. It seems like everybody I know went somewhere or they hosted family, but seemed to really enjoy the holidays. Let's talk first about Prince Harry, because I always say America Tonight is about the buzz in the backyard, and people are buzzing about it. Do I care that Prince Harry is marrying Meghan Markle? No offense to Meghan Markle, but good for her. From all accounts, I guess they have been dating for a while anyway. Yep, the 33-year-old most eligible royal bachelor and his girlfriend of a year made it official. What's really interesting is she's going to be the first American to actually be welcomed into the British royal family, and she'll be what they call a royal duchess. So her title, do you care about this, would be Royal Highness. So no joke. And what's interesting here is, because I'm a fan of history, is if you remember, there was an American divorcee that married a royal, but that was Wallis Simpson, the infamous American Duchess of Windsor, and that really caused all kinds of problems when she married King Edward in 1937, because 6 months after he quit his throne for her, basically, and she was never, ever, ever welcomed into the royal family. So no HRH title for her. All right, so let's move on to what's really important here in the U.S., and that would be taxes, taxes, taxes. But when we talk about the tax bill, so much of that really has nothing to do with necessarily your personal taxes. It does. But it has to do a lot of the back and forth has been over the volleying about of what's happening with the corporate tax. And the corporate tax is the thing that, one of the things that Trump said he was going to work on, that he was, when he was on the campaign trail, it's one of the things that he promised he would reduce, and he would bring back more jobs, and there would be more incentive for these companies to not go overseas because they would have the right kind of taxes. So anyway, the Republicans are threatening to bottle it up. Republican Senator Bob Corker says he could easily oppose his party's tax bill over huge deficit concerns in this budget committee vote later this week. He says, I'm not threatening anything. I'm just saying it's very important for me to know that we've got this resolved. So he's not the only deficit hawk on the Hill. There are certainly others. But I mentioned this at the top. Trump is hinting that there will be a few tweaks in the bill that might make it more palatable. I'll say that word again, for those who are not psyched about signing it, not happy about what it means to their constituents, etc. And we'll see. We'll see if that happens. We'll see if what the child care credit is, and it just needs to be simple. Is what it needs to be. Why is this such a complicated deal? This is why I'm for a flat tax or a fair tax. And we've done shows on this, and we'll do more shows on this in the future. But, you know, listen, there's got to be an easier way to wrestle with this than what we keep seeing over and over and over and over again. I mean, now we're talking about repealing the state and local tax deductions. I don't get it. I have to say, I even agree with Michael Reagan. I heard him somewhere, I want to say he was on Newsmax television, and he said he hoped that the Republican tax reform would be passed, that, you know, they wouldn't have to repeal these tax deductions that are now allowed. You know, because that's the deal. I mean, if you're an owner, it's probably going to raise your taxes in the future. So do you have the write-offs? Do your taxes go up? I mean, listen, again, I go to the fair tax. I go to a tax where it's, you know, across the board. We've talked about that certainly before, because we keep seeing that this bottleneck keeps happening. Hey, by the way, a lot of you have sent me your thoughts on it, like Jake in Austin. We haven't heard a peep out of him in weeks, and he says, Kate, great turkey day. I got to tell you, this tax thing, I've heard you mention it before. You've had people on, fair tax, fair tax, fair tax. Just give us a number, make the number across the board, and make it make sense. It seems less complicated than the nonsense with health care. Why are we constantly doing all these jumping jacks? It doesn't make any sense to me, and I agree with that. It doesn't make any sense, but there's so many that won't vote for it. You know, John McCain voted no on repeal, even though there was pressure from the president and from the VP. He voted to kill Obamacare in July. Remember that, with that pressure? And now we're talking about taxes, and it seems like there's some intertwinement, which is not a word, but there's some of this is intertwined, let's just put it that way. And why is that? Because it's politics. So you give me your vote, I'll take the vote on this. If you give me the vote on that, and that's what happens, I'll hold you hostage. So I don't know if that's going to go anywhere or not. By the way, the Supreme Court, big ruling with the Supreme Court, they rejected the Confederate emblem appeal. You know, there's been a lot of talk over that. So they rejected it from an African-American attorney who called the Confederate battle emblem on the Mississippi flag an official endorsement of white supremacy. This story has been a long time coming. So they axed the suit over the Mississippi flag, because that's where that all came from. So they rejected that and said the justices didn't comment. They ended the lawsuit, and the lawyer was Carlos Moore. He was trying to have the flag declared an unconstitutional relic of slavery. So Mississippi has used the same flag since 1894. It's the last state banner featuring the Confederate symbol in a red field topped by a blue, in case you haven't seen it, a blue tilted cross dotted by 13 white stars. And so a lot of people say, look, this is racist. The supporters say it represents history. It represents history. Moore said that he received 5 death threats because of the lawsuit, 3 death threats rather, because he removed the Mississippi flag from his courtroom after he became a city judge in Clarksdale. And he said he's disappointed that the justices chose not to consider the case. And he did say they knew it was going to be a long shot. And of course, it was a big time. Lawsuit. Even the Republican governor said in Mississippi, for those of you listening in Mississippi, Phil Bryant, you know, he said the lawsuit was frivolous, and that the flag design, you know, that if the flag design is going to be reconsidered, it should be done by a statewide vote, as it was more than 16 years ago. I would go for that. Just put it to the people of Mississippi and see what they have to say. On that note, stay with us. We're going to hop the fence with more here on America Tonight.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your ECS lately? We have. We are New Pharma, scientists who specialize in human functions controlled by the endocannabinoid system, or ECS. Let me simplify. Your ECS is involved in physiological processes like appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and immune systems. New Pharma's patent-pending science is the big difference in our natural solutions, formulated for your well-being. For example, our foundation product provides targeted nutrition to support a healthy endocannabinoid system, which is directly responsible for managing and controlling inflammation. This product contains turmeric, which is known as one of the best anti-inflammatories on the planet. Our allergies product contains sage, which is a very effective decongestant. See all of our amazing capsules, essential oils, and ECS herbal teas at GNUPHARMA.com. New Pharma, your path to wellness begins here.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
So what is funny, and how do you use humor when you're speaking? And, you know, what is it that we think, and this is such a tough question, what do we think is funny today versus, I don't know, 10 years ago and decades before, or is it all the same? Joining us now, what a thrill, what a pleasure to have Jeffrey Gurian on this show. He is a comedian, a comedy writer, an author. He's got a couple of new books, and we're going to talk about those as well here. Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on with you.
So, you know, you've done this for decades, and this is a tough question, but what is funny today versus what was funny in the past, or is it all the same?
Well, you're right. It is a very tough question, because funny changes, you know, funny changes from day to day. I've had the honor of working with some of the real legendary comedians, the greats like, you know, Milton Berle and Jerry Lewis, so I go back a while, and funny then was like one-liner jokes, which is very rare today. Today they do mostly observational humor, like Jerry Seinfeld would do, or Robert Klein, who was one of the first people to do observational humor. Like, have you ever noticed that this happened, you know? Things that people can relate to. So it's different there. Plus, today there are so many more comedians than there used to be. I mean, almost everybody's a comedian these days. It's crazy. When you go out to the clubs, I cover the comedy scene in New York for a column that I write as well. And so I'm out every night, and there are comedians that I've never heard of, and a lot of them are very funny. And everybody's talking about something different. So it's really hard to say what's funny today as opposed to what was funny before. But there are so many other things to talk about today because we have technology, which we didn't have in the old days. You know, and a lot of people want to talk about online dating and texting. You know, everybody's texting these days. It's gotten to the point where you get upset if someone actually calls you, you know, because
true.
You're like, why didn't you text me? You know, everybody's you have to text, you know,
yeah.
And so there are so many different things to talk about these days than there were years ago. But the comedy itself is very different.
And it's interesting, too, with people who think they're funny, and there are a lot of speakers who use humor, so they aren't necessarily always on the big stages or in some of the smaller comedy clubs, but they're speaking and using humor in whether they're talking about communications or they're talking about leadership or whatever. What would you say works if you're in those situations? Because I think humor really sells even if you're a speaker.
Well, of course, and humor is the best way to carry a message. People tune in much more when you make something funny. But you have to change. Like, for instance, I once wrote a speech for Ernie Anastas, who did a speech at the White House. And if you're not a stand-up comedian, you don't want to try and come across as someone who's trying to tell jokes and be a stand-up comedian. You want to just come across as being clever. You know, like if you're writing for a singer, again, singers have to be clever. They have to have a little patter between their songs. So humor is a great way to carry a message. I look at humor as a healing force. I recently was the opening night comedian at the Martin Luther King Comedy Festival, and I was the only white performer on the festival. And it was a great honor to me. And in the middle of the festival, I said to them, are you guys into racial humor? And they said, yes. They were very enthusiastic. And everyone was laughing, and it was an amazing thing. And I thanked the audience for being open to laughing at themselves and at each other, because that's how we heal. There are certain comedians that do that. They're very inclusive. And I really look at comedy as a healing force and as a way of carrying a message. So no matter what you're talking about, you can make it humorous. And there are a lot of speakers who specialize in humor. I'm sure that you do when you do your talk.
I do. Yeah, it's loaded with that. And you're right, it's observational humor. And I think it's interesting to explore that. And you brought it up at the top, you know, talking about technology was great. There's a lot that you can use with technology. What else would you say are some great kind of tips or clues that people listening to us could maybe use in their everyday life when it comes to observational humor? What should they be looking for?
Well, you try and talk about things that everybody relates to. Like when I'll talk about cell phones, everyone, or beards. Everyone has a beard these days, right? I usually apologize to my audience for not having any facial hair, you know, for not having a beard, because not everyone grows a good beard, you know? Some guys get these perfect beards, other guys get this patchy stuff, long hair, horrible, horrible looking. So you talk about things that people can relate to on an everyday basis. Cell phones. Everyone's got a cell phone these days. So, you know, I try and pick things that I find are funny. Traveling, going through customs. You know, if you're a speaker and you're speaking in another country, then it's very natural to talk about traveling and the things that happen to you when you travel. And it's interesting because what makes things funny to people is that it's something that everyone has experienced, but comedians see it in a different way. We see the world in many levels. Most people experience the world on a very superficial level. So when you bring in these little nuances, they laugh because they relate to it. They think it's funny. And no matter where you go, you can talk about things like traveling, going on an airplane, and as I said, going through customs, the silly questions that they ask you when you're going through customs. I actually bring a customs form with me when I go on stage. These are questions that they supposedly ask you to protect our country from terrorists. Are you traveling with fruits or vegetables or insects? They actually ask you if you have insects. Who's traveling with insects? What country are we encouraging people to come here from where they even consider packing insects? You know, hey, honey, did you pack the bees? You know, who's going away with a, you know, do you have any soil with you, they ask you. Yeah, of course I have soil. I'm a well-known farmer. You know, I have two suitcases packed with soil just in case I'm in the mood to plant something while I'm away. You know,
yeah,
so
that's
you talk about things that people can relate to.
Yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're spot on. Take the ordinary and reverse engineer it. That's what you say. If you have humor in your life, or you're a humorist or a comedian or however you want to bill it, that's what you do. You're kind of reverse engineering. Why is this? You're asking that question, have you ever noticed, that you mentioned in the beginning when you talk about observational humor.
Well, life is a struggle. And it may look easy to some people, you know, but We're all struggling. Every day things come up that you don't expect, because the only place you can control your life is maybe in your home. As soon as you walk out that door, you're at the mercy of the universe, whatever that has in store for you that day. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And so we're all involved in that daily struggle. And so if you can pick things from that, people relate to it, because it's not just you. We don't talk to people enough, so we think it's just us, like we're the ultimate victim of the universe.
Yeah, you know? I love that. Yeah, absolutely. So you have two books and Laughing Legends about the history of the legendary comedy club, The Comic Strip, with an intro by Chris Rock. Tell me about that. That's on Amazon. How'd this book come about?
Well, I was drawn to this. I was at the Comic Strip one day, which is the only club that's still open in New York City since 1976. You know, it was the third big comedy club that had opened. And I was there with Gilbert Gottfried, one of my favorite comedians in the world. And we were kind of coaching Ann Curry on how to do stand-up comedy for an event that she had to go to. And I looked around at the walls, and I saw all these famous names that came out of this club. Jerry Seinfeld and Billy Crystal and Ray Romano and Susie Essman, Lisa Lampanelli. And I said to the owner, Richie Tinkin, have you ever done a book on this club? People need to know about this. And he said, you know, well, a lot of people had offered it to him. So he came to my house, and he saw the pictures on my wall. He said, you have more pictures in your house than I have in the club. He couldn't believe it. So he said to me, I think maybe you're the guy to do this book. And I was honored by being given the opportunity to do this book. So for 4 years, I worked on this, and I interviewed everybody, you know, as I said, Jerry Seinfeld, who spent the first 4 years of his career in that club until he went to L.A. in 1980. Chris Rock, who was discovered by Eddie Murphy there. Richie was Eddie Murphy's manager for the first 11 years of his career. And Lisa Lampanelli, Larry Miller, George Wallace, Louis Black, Jim Gaffigan, all these people started at this one club, and I was amazed at how that happened. So I sat with each of them, and we did these interviews, and they told me intimate, funny stories of how they got started. You know, Colin Quinn was a bartender there, and they told him that he couldn't perform unless he quit his job. So he had to quit his job as a bartender in order to perform. And Ray Romano started performing under the name Jackie Roberts. I don't know if you know that. It's a...
Yep.
A little-known story, because in those days there was a lottery in order to perform. They had to pick your name out of a hat. So to double his chances, he brought a friend with him, and he couldn't find a guy, so he brought a girl. So he said to her, well, look, if they pick you, you have to use an androgynous name. I can't go up under a girl's name. So she picked Jackie Roberts, and of course his name got picked, and he had to go on stage as Jackie Roberts, and he was a hit. He was very funny, and they invited him back, and he was afraid to tell them that he lied about his name. So for the first 3 months of his career, he performed under the name Jackie Roberts.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, pay close attention because huge discounts are now available in solar generators. Perfect for backup power outages and emergencies. Portable solar generators provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no dangerous fumes, and produces an endless supply of electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running secretly in your own home. Right now, get a $5,000 solar generator for just $995 while supplies last. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. GCN listeners, use coupon code GCN at checkout for this special offer. MySolarBackup.com. Use coupon code GCN. EMP protection available at an additional charge.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
To Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
We're continuing a conversation with Sharon Miller. She's the head of small business for Bank of America. And I think Greg and I have just overdosed on this report that they put out. We cannot get enough of it. I'm not kidding you. I have talked to so many of my friends about it. In fact, I just recently did a speech for an oil company, and I gave Bank of America credit, and I wrapped in a few of the statistics because I was reading it again on the plane. So, Greg, I mean, it is just amazing all the information, isn't it?
Well, it is amazing, and I think, you know, we talked about this in our first segment with you, Sharon. I think that even if you don't work for a small company, or you've never thought about perhaps being an entrepreneur and starting a small company, no matter who you are in America, as I think you said, small business is the lifeblood of America. Your life is impacted by what happens with small business, and as you shared with us in the last segment, there's a lot of confidence, and one of the ways that that can really impact everybody, no matter who you are as you're listening, is when it comes to things like jobs. So talk about what you heard in this report about jobs, because jobs are something that everybody is interested in.
Absolutely. So, you know, although our confidence in the revenue and the growth expectations has increased and improved, what we did see was with the focus on hiring, it has not translated to people getting more employees for their business. So what I mean by that is what we found, and when we dug a little bit deeper with the survey, we asked, you feel that your business is going to increase, yet it doesn't yet translate into hiring more. Now, what they did tell us is that there's a war for talent out there, and we know that. We're in the tightest job market out there. I mean, people are employed. We're nearly fully employed in the United States. So now it's about how do you retain your employees? And that's where the conversation has moved. Not as much about I'm going to hire more. Now, there hasn't been really anyone saying I'm going to downsize either.
Yes.
But it's really about maintaining current staff levels and some saying they're going to hire. So when I get to the data point, 16% plan to hire in the year ahead and 76% said that they would maintain. So even at maintaining your current staff levels, you're going to be hiring because you're going to have some turnover. People are going to leave. They're going to go do other things. And so you're going to have to hire just to maintain flat employment levels. So,
but it seems to me that when you're talking about, I mean, you just said we're basically at a state of full employment, right? So
right. It
shouldn't be surprising that companies are not looking to hire because, first of all, we're at full employment, I would think, but also hiring right now is a challenge because there's no great talent to hire. You've got to poach them away from somebody else.
That's right, and you have to, and you also have to be competitive. So a lot of small business owners are thinking about how can they offer flexible work hours or locations. Many people seeking employment are looking for that. What about office perks? So those are things that small business owners are thinking about today. Benefits. How are our benefits compared to others? I think of myself as an employee. You know, those are important to me. I want to make sure that I've got great benefits, that I'm able to be able to have some flexibility when it comes to travel or where I'm working. All of those things become very, very important as there is a war for talent out there. And so that's what we're hearing from our small business owners.
I love that. You know, that's another tweetable moment, war for talent. So I'm going to remember that one coming out of this.
So does this mean that there's such a war for talent that for my next job interview, one of the perks they may offer me is someone's going to come and clean my house and stock my refrigerator
absolutely,
at home and walk
right?
my dog and
but
take my
know,
dry
But, you
know,
you hear about these locations that have all this, you know, ping pong or whatever it is, right? I mean, there's a lot of things going out there in corporate America, not just corporate America, but in small businesses. You're right. I mean, there are things that people are getting very, very creative to retain and attract the best talent because when it comes down to it, talent is a huge differentiator for companies, whether you're small or you're large.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's interesting. Let's dive into that. What did you find the difference was between, in a different way, rural versus urban businesses?
Yeah, so, I mean, we did dig into also whether you're sitting in an urban environment or you're sitting in a rural environment and some of the differences really around the confidence in the economy. 51% of rural small business owners believe the national economy will improve. So this is up versus what we saw in the last survey. And 20% of urban small business owners plan to hire in 2018. So that's also come up a little bit. So when you think about entrepreneurs in urban areas, they have the most dynamic business outlook and plans for growth. So 57% of urban plan to hire and grow their business over the next 5 years, which is a good thing. Now, when you dig into the factors causing concern and how that differs between urban and rural business owners, you know, when we asked about stock market, that came up a lot with an urban concern. For rural business owners, the strength of the U.S. dollar was something that came up as a big concern. So there are differences there, but I will tell you, and I think we talked about this in our last report, that whether you're rural, urban, woman, man, millennial, Gen X, whatever you are, the number one concern in all business owners agreed upon that were healthcare costs when it came to their top economic concern of business owners. And so healthcare is still something that it's very, very near and dear to business owners' heart as to how are they going to pay for it. And again, back to that war on employees, how are you going to have the best health care coverage for your employees? Because it's important.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, Sharon, I'm interested in this. I speak to a lot of millennials, and you had a section where you talked about millennial entrepreneurs and that they have
a significantly more optimistic outlook in a bunch of areas. And what are those areas?
Yeah, they did. I mean, they had a, to quite frankly, my surprise. I've worked with Bank of America 20 years and with Merrill Lynch, and I've worked a lot in our investment area. And most of the time when we release reports, especially for Merrill Edge, and we go in and we ask, the differences between millennials tend to have, in at least in the investment space, a more skeptical outlook than the broader population and not as optimistic. So when I saw this in the small business owner report where millennials were actually much more optimistic than our general population, it made me, sit back and think, what is the difference? And the one thing that I came up with and certainly something that I think makes a lot of sense in the stock market and in areas of where millennials really don't have control, they are, they're feeling a little skeptical. They've seen their parents perhaps get burned with the stock market, going up and down. They've seen layoffs. They've seen these things happen to perhaps their parents, their grandparents. But when you look at the small business owner millennial, to me, it's because they have control. I mean, one area when we ask, why did you open your small business? It's because, I want to have control of my own destiny. I want to drive what's possible. And I think the millennials feeling very empowered, regardless of economic cycles, they feel that they can, push through, and they're more optimistic than the general population, which is fascinating to me.
Yeah, we're talking with Sharon Miller. She's the head of small business for Bank of America. I mean, what you're describing, it's the beauty of the American dream. I mean, you just said it. The data supports it. It's so great that millennials get it and are embracing it. And this report that we're talking about, it's the Small Business Owner Report for Bank of America. If you just Google Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, you can see it. It's like the third option when you do that as a Google search. And Kate and I both were like, whoa, there is so much meat in this report. One of the things I want to talk to you about, Sharon, and I'm kind of laughing inside as I say this because, I'll open the kimono. We had a little trouble connecting with you today to do this interview. It was probably my fault, but I think this is a common issue for companies is getting new technology that is, on whole, far better, more efficient, for whatever reason, cheaper, faster, safer, but sometimes it brings challenges like us connecting with you today. What did you find in the Small Business Owner Report? What did you find small business owners saying about technology and technology trends?
Well, I mean, we asked more around social networks, and I think that falls right into the wheelhouse of technology and what's happening. And, what they told us, and, you hear so much about social media, and we even said, tweets, right? All these things that you hear out there, and, people putting responses online. What we found were that entrepreneurs, they do recognize the importance of social media, but they're more likely to view in-person interactions and networks as much more valuable. So, to me, and I always sort of follow this rule, face-to-face is the best means of communication by phone, and then the third is, on the computer by email, because anything can be interpreted anyway. So I just think you can't replace that good old-fashioned face-to-face or pick up the phone and talk, and I think business owners realize that. And that was sort of surprising to me because part of their in-person communities that small business owners rely on is friends and family, 75%, which makes sense, right? If it's a local business, you're getting your advice. They're not as much looking to, what's happening in social media, but they're looking to that close network. And that's why we come back to the, statement. Small business is local. I mean, it is local no matter what. We've got all this ability to, it's a good thing, right, when you think about the ability to market your goods online and be able to sell in different marketplaces that you never had before. So that's a good thing. But when it comes to, where do I do business? What do I think about this or that? It's back to the friends and family and that local face-to-face on the phone connectivity.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect place to end this. Sharon Miller, head of small business for Bank of America. Thank you so much.
something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckinridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT, only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
Excited to catch up with Lois Kramer. Book More Business. What a brilliant name for a business, right? Especially when she's in the business of doing that, helping us speakers. And so many of us, I think, I'm going to speak for myself, struggle with the, I think it's the follow-up. You get off the stage, you've crushed it, you've creamed it, you know that. There's an avalanche of people that rush up to you. You do have offerings, but suddenly it becomes chaotic. People tell you they want to book you or they want to get one of your programs, and all of a sudden, you know, they're out the door, they grab a card, and then you've lost them. Lois, help us, please. What do we do?
What a common dilemma you just related, Kate. This is something that we all hear. You know, you go, you're hired, you do a great job. As you said, people are swarming you with questions. They're interested. And then you go back to your office, and nothing happens. And I think the reason nothing happens is because we are not taking control of the situation. We want people to come to us. And what we have to do is take control of every contact. And to me, Kate, it's all about leveraging. I think too many times we go out and we do a great job, deliver a great program, it's well received, and then we go back and say, wow, that was great, I'd love to do that again, I hope somebody calls me, and the phone doesn't ring. And I think that the magic is in the follow-up, as you said. It's in the follow-up. follow-up, and something that I've been talking about lately to chapters and writing about, as a matter of fact, something that I call aftercare, which is what you're going to do after the program with the client.
Ooh, I like that, aftercare. That's a great buzzword. So what are some of the things that we can do after the training, the workshop, speaking, any of that?
Well, I believe that it should all start very naturally with a follow-up thank you call. And that would be just us calling and saying, Joe, I just wanted to call and say thanks again for bringing me in. I enjoyed my program. I wanted to make sure the feedback continued to be as positive as was as what I heard. And I would love to use some of that feedback as a testimonial. And one thing, Kate, I think that we don't ask, anytime you work for a private business or a corporation, ask what associations do you belong to? Because that's the way to get your foot in the door with associations, to have your name locked in by a member of the association. And lots of corporations are members of many, many associations that you may be a fit for. So that's a good question to ask. But to roll into the aftercare, I think a great way to set it up is just to say, you know, I loved speaking with your group. And using one of my phrases that pays, do you think it would make sense? Do you think it would make sense at this point to make sure the ideas and the techniques that I discussed in my program are actually implemented in your business? Because if that sounds like something that would be a positive to you, I'd love to work with you on that. So that's how we introduce the idea of aftercare. And then it's a matter of what do you have to offer? Are you a consultant in your area of expertise? So say, are you, I used to speak on sales to corporate sales teams. So I would follow up and I would say, do you think it would make sense for me to work with your sales managers in a small group to make sure that my techniques and tactics are actually applied by your sales team? And that's a hard thing, Kate, for them to say, no, that makes no sense. We spent thousands of dollars to bring you in, but to implement it, no, we don't have any interest.
And oh, that's
we want
good.
That to be a hard no.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, you can do a number of things. You can consult. I did small group consulting. Now we don't have Google Hangout, but you can do it on Zoom. You can do it on a number of programs, Skype. You can even record it for team members who can't be there when you call. You can do one-on-one consulting if your expertise is leadership to implement some of the leadership ideas. You can even do things like teleseminars, follow-up articles, maybe even follow-up training to larger groups within the group that you just spoke to. And all of this requires taking that next step with the client. And
how?
Then, you know, I found that when I did my sales programs, sometimes I looked at my speech almost as a paid showcase.
Mm.
And sometimes I made more on the back end consulting than I did on the speech.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How much time do you really, what's the optimum amount of time? You know how that is. Oh, I'm traveling. Oh, a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 2 weeks go by. You got to do that right away, don't you?
Exactly. And I think, you know, thank you for mentioning that, because I think the magic is in following up within 48 hours. Within 48 hours of your platform time, while they're still kind of in the glow and everybody's remembering what a great job you did, this is when you really want to ask them, do you want to implement this, instead of just hearing about it? I can help you implement it. And then, as I said, a number of ways that you can change your role from speaker to actual resource. And that's when the money really starts coming in to me. So I think the magic is all about leveraging that engagement, through good follow-up and offering an aftercare, depending upon what your talent is, what you can offer, and then completing the whole picture by speaking about it, making sure they're applying your ideas and seeing them work, and when they work, they're going to want more of you.
Yeah, and Lois, it really is important these days because you could be killing it as a keynote speaker, but you said it. You were really making more money. It was like it was a showcase for you, and I have a feeling, and I said that at the top, I'll raise my hand. I know that I've let a lot of dollars go out the door. And what about when people come up to you and they were in the audience? Let's say you weren't just in a corporation, which is great, or just one company, but you were speaking to a multitude of people, and then you get that same rush, and they're putting business cards. You were terrific. Gosh, I would love to talk to you about coming to my company, but you can't talk to them there, and other people are throwing down cards, and it gets really confusing.
Yes, it can get really confusing. And I think what you need to do is try and take control of that situation as much as you can. You know, I always used to say, I'm happy to give you a business card, or I'm happy for you to give me a business card, but I want us both to do the exchange because I know I'll follow up with you. You may not, but I will if I take charge of it. And now we have ways to engage and get that audience contact information, actually better ways, Kate, than just the old business card, by having them text with programs like Jeff Mason's Kiwi Live. Mm-hmm. Have them text the keyword and get a handout or a blog post, and they're rolled right into your database, and you are going to take control of that contact. And I think that, again, timing is everything. And I know for solopreneurs it's hard to do everything on your own, but making sure that you are really leveraging in a timely way, I think, is the magic to booking more business after one initial speech.
Well, I love that. And I know a lot of people do that. For instance, as you said, Kiwi Live, or being able to send something back, the blog, the white paper, the whatever. So you've got that first touch immediately. And that's just a little strategizing, having it ready ahead of time, of course. And we have those things. And if you have them ready, then it's easy to let that drip out.
It is. And it can buy you more time if you're on the road and you're a little bit busy. Making sure that they're hearing from you in a timely manner can buy you a little bit of time. So I am still a stickler for following up as quickly as you can, because that's when they're going to remember what a great job you did, what a great resource you are, and they're going to think of how many ways can we use this person.
Yeah. Great, great advice. Lois Kramer, Book More Business, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Fun being with you today. Are you happy now?
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is
the store I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.